If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer Bully Ray and I discuss the Go Home SmackDown prior to WWE Stomping Grounds this weekend. We'll give you three storylines that have excited us for Sunday's pay-per-view. Universal Champion Seth Rollins was heavily featured on both Raw and SmackDown this week as he attempted to thwart Baron Corbin's appointing a special guest referee for their match at Stomping Grounds. But were Seth's tactics a little out of character? Dolph Ziggler and Kofi Kingston will battle in a steel cage for the WWE Championship. We'll tell you why Ziggler has taken their feud to the next level. Plus, after a lackluster call-up to the main roster, Bayley is finally hitting her stride now that she's SmackDown Women's Champion. We'll tell you why her opponent Alexa Bliss has a legitimate claim to her throne. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. We're just days away from one of the hottest pay-per-views of all time. Stomping Grounds! Stomping Grounds! Coming up on Sunday.
There's something nobody's ever said. Hottest pay-per-view in a while. Stomping Grounds.
Well, it's the first time. I guarantee the pay-per-view we're going to get on Sunday will be the greatest Stomping Grounds pay-per-view we have ever had.
I guarantee you it might be the last Stomping Grounds pay-per-view we ever had.
You know,
do you like Stomping Grounds or Great Balls of Fire better?
That's a poll question right there. I would say that Stomping Grounds is much better.
Yeah, I understand. I think Vince is just a mark for Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yes, he is. I will say this. Lately, and this is just this week, they started the tagline, the kick ass and take names. They're using the kick ass, take names tagline for Stomping Grounds.
I've heard a couple of words used in the past couple of weeks that has me intrigued by their use of non-PG language, but I don't know. Is it ass PG or is it PG-13? Is it PG-14?
I don't know. But ass is something that you probably wouldn't have heard, you know, 3-4 years ago.
Absolutely not. And the women like to throw around bitch.
That's the boy they do.
I was actually shocked by the first couple of times I heard the women refer to each other as bitches, because I just thought that in the world we live in today, that's just such a derogatory word to say. But I guess if women are saying it to women, it's okay. I don't know. But I was shocked WWE went there with them allowing that word.
You know, it's funny that you bring this up because we're going to get it obviously into SmackDown and, you know, get your thoughts on Raw. Now this is the first time you've been on since Monday night, Bully, but this is something that a lot of people have been tweeting about and talking about, is that it seems like the commentators are using a bit of a different language, some words that we're not used to hearing, that they got a little spice into what's going to take place. And I kind of feel like we've gotten that the last couple weeks. Some of the things that we've heard have been very, I guess the best thing to say is un-WWE-like.
Right. I wouldn't go as far to say as edgy.
No, I wouldn't say that, yeah. No.
But definitely un-WWE-like, and I'm glad that they're doing a little bit more of it, because I guess when you hear it today, it wakes you up a little bit more. You're like, oh, okay, they're going there. I think we can all agree, I know me and you can agree, and most of the people that listen to us like a little bit more of an adult-oriented product, a more mature product, a little bit of an edgier product. You know, it's not like saying ass or bitch is the end of the world. And, you know, if you're saying it at the right times, and when I say the right times, I mean, you know, the right storylines, the right angles, and the right time, like after 10 o'clock at night or, you know, stuff like that, it can work.
Yeah, and listen, you know, we talk about pro wrestling and WWE saying they're sports entertainment. Over the last few days, Bully, we've gotten calls from some moms, you know, Monday and Tuesday, the prime examples on this show. We've gotten calls about how they're taking their kids and some of their friends to Raw and SmackDown. You know, we always talk about the coolness factor. In AEW, though, they haven't had a TV show yet. You know, they kind of have the coolness factor in their favor. It's teens. It's people in their 20s, where WWE is the family-oriented product. And it's kind of hard to be the family-oriented product and be cool. You know, WWE's has some work to do in that department.
I thought they did some cool stuff over the past 2 days. I enjoyed Raw and I enjoyed SmackDown. First hour of Raw wasn't too sure about, but for the majority of Raw I liked, and I liked SmackDown, and I thought they did a good job with their promos, with their storytelling. There were a lot of shining moments, especially last night. I know we're going to get into them. You just mentioned about, you know, getting a call last week from a mom and her kids. Just got a tweet this morning from some dude out in California who listens to us every day and gets to listen with his 8-year-old son. So, you know, listen, all that stuff is great.
Yeah, and again, it's funny because I was actually thinking about this on the commute in, Bully, and I don't know if you remember this. I actually remember it vividly. I can't remember the details, but I just remember the rally itself. Do you remember, like, back in, like, it was like 1979 after a baseball game, they had like a disco sucks rally?
Yes.
And that was kind of like the turn. And for me, somebody who was in grade school at the time, it went from disco being the cool music to, after that rally took place, it's like disco sucks. Everywhere you saw disco sucks on like every wall, it was spray painted, and then it wasn't the cool thing anymore. And we see it in pop culture all the time. Once you become kind of like family friendly, you lose that cool factor. And right now with the WWE, because it is family friendly, and I think there's nothing wrong with that. I actually think, as a father and somebody who's middle aged, that to me is kind of cool that you can enjoy something with your children. But you would agree, for people that are teenagers or for people that are in their 20s, you know, it kind of drags when you go to something with your buddies and then there's kids sitting in front of you, sitting behind you. I think that's the disadvantage the WWE has right now. And maybe they're going to try to do some things to not turn people off, but maybe to turn other people on.
I definitely think that they have enough time to give you a balance of both. I really do. I with 3 hours on a Monday night and 2 hours on a Tuesday night, there's no reason why you can't cater to everybody. You have plenty of time. Now, catering to your fan base is one thing. Catering to your sponsors is another. Maybe saying things like ass and bitch scares sponsors away. Maybe any type of, you know, language like that scares sponsors away. I did like what I saw over the past two nights. I guess you can, you know, the one glaring thing you can look at is not necessarily what Seth Rollins was saying, but what Seth Rollins was doing. Mm-hmm. We definitely saw an edgier, more aggressive, more violent Seth Rollins. Something that we haven't seen before. We were talking last week about how come Seth just doesn't feel like the guy. After Monday and Tuesday night, I think they took steps in the right direction of giving him those opportunities to feel like the guy a little more. You know, it's interesting, Dave. After watching Monday and last night, because I know he appeared once last night, did Seth Rollins feel like the babyface on Monday night?
This is something I know is going to be a big topic on today's show, because I think we'd both agree that Rollins looked strong coming out of this week, that Rollins got the advantage coming out of this week, and he's got some edge about him. But that question is a really good one, and I think it might be an underlining theme throughout this show, Bully. Did he come out looking like the babyface champion? And in a lot of ways, he probably didn't, Bully.
Is there anything Seth Rollins did on Monday night that makes him a traditional babyface?
Maybe the one thing I would say is following through on a promise.
Okay.
Like, he said he was going to annihilate anybody that wanted to be a special guest referee, and that definitely played out over the last 48 hours.
How would a traditional babyface annihilate anybody that got in his way? How would he normally do it?
Probably with his bare hands.
Attaboy, Dave. You've learned something. With his bare hands, as opposed to the weapon. The weapon was the little bit of the disconnect for me. So I compared it to something. And who do I like to compare Seth Rollins to? Who do I like to compare anybody to when it comes to the push, being the man or the woman in the WWE? It's Steve Austin.
Yep.
Because it's the most perfect blueprint for success. So let's say that Rollins was taken out of the equation and Austin was put in. And Austin said that he was going to annihilate anybody that got in his way. What would you see Steve Austin doing in every single segment?
He would kick ass. He would attack. Again, going back to using his hands and his feet to get the point across.
You'd probably see him just stunning everybody in the back, just throwing him into, you know, walls, you know, doing whatever he could to beat their ass. So with Seth, I liked the road that they were going down. I think I would have just rather have seen him do it with his bare hands and not the steel chair. I didn't hate the chair. Don't get me wrong, but when you see somebody sneaking up on other people with a steel chair, it's got heel written all over it. It's not like he's receding these guys. It's not like these guys hit him with a steel chair, so now he's getting them back, in which you can go, okay, I get it. My baby face is just doing the right thing, and it's an eye for an eye. He's sneaking up on people. Now, when he sneaks up on Baron Corbin and hits him with your chair, you're like, ah, it's Baron, you know, screw him. We want to see him get beat up. But I got to tell you, that segment with Eric Young, it's like Eric Young can't come off any more than this, you know, lovable dude. You know, it's Eric Young. We all dig him. I mean, some people might not even know him, but nothing that Eric Young said to Seth would warrant Seth cracking him in the back with a chair. So when I look at Seth, I'm like, I don't know. Now, if he would have turned around, booted him, and curb stomped him, now I know it. You know, Seth is just doing what Seth would do.
It's so interesting that you brought this up, and I think it's a really good debate, Bully, because I understand where you're coming from. And honestly, you're not alone in this, because I see a lot of people talking about just what you're saying. He's coming across more like a heel than he is a baby face. But I got to be honest with you, because I have been the biggest doubter of Seth Rollins. I've said it on this show. Hey, he's a great wrestler. There's no doubt about it. But I would say it on the air. I would pose the question to you, to Mark, and to the nation. He's missing something. And I couldn't really put my finger on what it was. And I expressed this on the show yesterday. And I saw it on Monday, and I saw it again last night, probably even more last night than on Monday. What he was missing was that edge. And even though he used a chair, I liked what I saw from Seth Rollins on Raw and SmackDown. Now, what you're saying is 100% right. He is not coming across like a traditional babyface, but to me, he's actually showing something that he has not shown. And if it took a chair to do it, I'm okay with it. Because maybe blurring the lines a little bit for Seth Rollins is the best thing for him right now. But he was missing the edge, and now he has that.
So you're telling me Seth Rollins, who defeated Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania with a curb stomp, now needs a chair to be edgy?
Well, don't forget, he used a lot of those low blows, too, to get the advantage on Brock Lesnar. I mean, Seth Rollins hasn't exactly captured the Universal Championship or kept that Universal Championship by doing everything on the up and up. I mean,
that's okay, but you just said that having the chair, you like it because it makes him edgy. Oh, does he now have to rely? I think the low blows against Brock were fighting fire with fire. Okay, because didn't Brock kick him in the balls?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
he
that's
did.
Fighting fire. That's the receipt I'm talking about. That's an eye for an eye, a ball for a ball, if you will. But now, since we see Seth lay out everybody with a chair, it kind of goes back to the old Sandman thing. You know, Sandman carried around a Singapore cane his whole career. Is Seth now going to have to carry around a chair to beat everybody down? And now when you take a look at what happened with Eric Young, and then you look at SmackDown, Seth Rollins slides in the ring to beat down the B-team. Because they were online to talk to Baron Corbin. It's like those things, I like them, but I think they can do them in a better way and keep Seth edgy without relying on a weapon to make him edgy.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156. or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
When you look at Seth Rollins right now, Bully, completely different story.
He's a babyface doing very heelish things by carrying around that chair. It's a weapon, and babyfaces really don't carry around weapons. Heels carry around weapons, and if they happen to turn babyface, that's fine. I don't mind Seth using the chair. I just don't like Seth walking around with the chair. To me, it feels like a crutch. And when I say a crutch, I don't mean a physical crutch, a crutch as he has to lean on this now. I don't want to see Seth Rollins lean on it. Listen, when he first attacked Corbin on the stage, right, he could have come up and just attacked Corbin from behind, okay? Even attacking from behind is a bit heelish. Anything could have happened there without the use of a chair. In the backstage segments, whether he was beating up Eric Young or whoever else, you could have seen a chair come into place because he was beating the crap out of Eric Young backstage. So if you would have thrown Eric Young into a wall, was beating him down, there's a chair leaned up against the wall, cracks him in the back with the chair, and then another backstage segment, he's beating up some other guys, and there happens to be a steel rod there, and he beats him up with the steel rod. He uses the weapons that are at his disposal, but what's his number one weapon? Himself. His hands. His hands are his weapon. Oh, Taz is going to be pissed. That's the way I want to see Seth. I want to see him be resourceful, maybe with the weapons that he has at his disposal, but coming out with that chair every single time. On Raw and SmackDown, to me, they painted a picture of Seth Rollins as a guy who could get the job done with the help of a chair.
Okay.
I don't want my top babyface needing help from a weapon. I want my top babyface to fight.
You know, you're listening to you this morning. You do a great job of this argument as far as what's going on with Seth Rollins right now. Because again, coming out of Raw and SmackDown, Bully, I got to tell you, I'm hyped on Seth, and I haven't been. I wasn't really that hyped up on Seth going in as a challenger to Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 35, and I certainly was kind of cold on him coming out of WrestleMania 35. I'm a big fan of Jason Powell, who writes for ProWrestling.net, Bully. And he has an article coming out of Raw each week of, like, the hits and misses from what he believes was something that he liked, things he didn't like coming out of a Monday Night Raw, okay? If you ask me, Seth Rollins was a hit coming out of Monday Night Raw. Jason Powell had a different take. He took Seth as a miss. And it kind of goes back to what you're saying. I'm gonna read from his column on ProWrestling.net, and I want to get your reaction to it, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. So he said this about Seth. He said, the babyface who won his championship by low-blowing Brock Lesnar is still bitter that Lesnar won't tell him when he intends to cash in the Money in the Bank contract. This is the same Seth Rollins who waited to cash in his Money in the Bank contract during a WrestleMania main event to take the title from Brock Lesnar. And now Rollins is so unnerved by Lesnar's mind games that he is hitting heels from behind with chairs to stop them from being the special referee of his match at Stomping Grounds. Worse yet, and this is something that you talked about, Bully, worse yet, he implied that he and Eric Young go way back and are friends, and thus he wouldn't attack him. But when Rollins waited until he was behind Young and then destroyed him with a chair, I enjoy the work of Seth Rollins, but his character isn't an edgy babyface. He's a whiny, hypocritical asshole.
Well, when you compare it apples to apples that he did, like he just did, you can see the hypocrisy in Seth's actions. Basically lying to his friend, Eric Young. Like Seth said, hey, man, we go way back. I would never expect this from you. We're totally cool. And then hits him from behind with a chair. I mean, that's about as heelish as heel gets, correct, Dave?
Yes.
I don't agree with the low blows, because I believe it was Brock who kicked Seth in the nuts first.
Like you're saying, so that's the receipt.
That's your receipt. So if he nut shots Brock 10 times, I don't care, because Brock went there first. And I think it's okay for a babyface to resort to those tactics only if he's paying back, only if it's an eye for an eye situation. But like I said, Seth using the chair feels heelish. To some, it feels edgy. I don't want to see him rely on it. I don't want to see him be a crutch. So what's going to happen? Next week, are we not going to see the chair? Whenever Seth Rollins feels intimidated or you know, he's trying to make sure things go his way, is he always going to have to use this chair? I don't mind Seth using a weapon or different weapons. I just don't want to see him walking around with it. I want my baby face to be strong with his hands. I want him to be able to kick everybody else with his hands. Austin would have just come in and stunned everybody. And were there times where Austin came in with a chair? Yeah, I've been in the middle of the ring when Austin hit the ring with a chair to get rid of like 10 guys.
Yeah.
You know, he needed an equalizer against 10 guys. Seth was sneaking up behind heels. What kind of babyface has to sneak up behind heels? What kind of... He snuck up on Corbin on the ramp. Then he snuck up on Corbin when he was doing the backstage interview. He didn't sneak up on Eric. He lied to his friend's face. And then when Eric thought everything was cool, Seth hit him in the back.
It's true.
So, yeah, you can call it edgy all you want. I call it dick. And you know what? Listen, if it's working, that's all that matters. I'm just telling you, in my opinion, I think you can build him in a better way with the focus being on the fighting guy, Seth Rollins, fighting with his fists, you know, taking Corbin out right on the stage. The thing with Eric Young backstage, I don't think you needed Eric Young there. I guess they thought, oh, well, it will show his edginess, because if he's willing to do this to his best friend of years, what will he be willing to do to anybody else? I get it. But it sends the wrong message about him. And Dave, if you look at the two shows, Raw and SmackDown, we saw a lot of quote unquote baby faces initiating the physicality with heels when they felt heels were getting the best of them. I guess Seth thought that Baron was getting the best of him by having to name his own referee. That's why he had to take the fight to Seth.
And you know what?
I guess Bailey thought that Alexa got the best of her last night, thus her having to initiate the physicality.
You ready to go to the Busted Open Nation?
Sure.
All right, let's go out to Greg in Chicago. Greg, what did you want to say about Seth, buddy?
Okay, hey, guys, good morning. Couple things. One, I do agree the Eric Young thing was unnecessary, but who else do we know that was a baby face, but an edgy baby face? I'm thinking the Icon Sting. When he went dark, that bat was with him pretty much for the rest of his run at WCW and his short run at WWE. And I didn't have a problem with Sting of the bat. I would liken the chair to being a way of giving Seth a little edginess. I agree with Bully that the Eric Young thing was unnecessary. That was kind of dick-like. But I can recall, and I'm not sure on the exact storyline, but I could have recalled that when Sting went dark at WCW, for a while, anyone that was supposed to be NWO or a hint of NWO got the bat, and they were found like lying, in a fetal position on the floor. And it was like, hey, what's going on? Is Sting here or not?
But let me ask you. Let me ask you.
I'll throw that at you.
Let me ask you this, bro. How many guys were in the NWO?
Depending on which week, it was like four or five converting every week for sure.
Exactly. So just like my Austin example, Sting needed an equalizer. You didn't see Sting with a baseball bat from day one, I believe. You just saw Sting showing up. When Sting realized he needed an equalizer, that's when he turned to the bat, because he was always fighting a bunch of NWO guys. Seth Rollins is as much of a babyface as we get in the WWE these days. You know, the Universal Champion beating Brock Lesnar, representing the universe. I don't necessarily have a problem with the chair. I just think they could have did it in a better way. I think Seth should always rely on Seth, never a weapon.
I have
only use the weapon when it's absolutely necessary. Like Seth sneaking up on Baron Corbin. Why did you need to hit Baron Corbin in the back with a chair? Why couldn't you just spin him around, boot him, and curb stomp him right on the ramp?
Maybe it's at a point where enough is enough. Maybe there's been so many times where he's been sneaked up on and attacked. It's at the point where, you know, he's broke. Like, now he's had enough, and now on top of it, you're picking a special guest referee. It's kind of like enough is enough. Now, I understand what you're saying as far as the method of how he's getting back and maybe the way he's delivering his message, but at least Seth Rollins is delivering a message.
Is it a disconnect for you, Dave, if we now see Seth Rollins in any kind of precarious situation if he doesn't have a chair?
I think that this ends come stomping ground.
And I'm fine with that. If this is isolated where the story is that Seth is going to make sure that he's taking out anybody and everybody who presents a threat to him as a referee, that's fine. I just didn't want to see him do it with a chair. I didn't need to see him hit everybody with the chair. I didn't need to see Seth Rollins hit the B team with chairs. Seth Rollins could have come in and just curb stomped them both.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
One thing we can't say is that Kofi is coming across like a heel in any stretch of the imagination, because Dolph is truly that heel where he's saying, oh, I didn't get my opportunity. It should have been me. You got this opportunity. You didn't deserve it. Just like a heel would whine and bitch and moan. And Kofi Kingston is truly the babyface. And I think both Kofi and Dolph have done a tremendous job building this story towards stomping grounds on Sunday.
Completely agree. And Kofi needs a heel like Dolph right now. And Dolph's getting the job done on the microphone so well. Obviously, the physicality is good. But last night, you could feel the intensity. You could feel the anger. It showed on the microphone. It showed in his match against Xavier. I mean, the line, "It should have been me," is very reminiscent of Taz back in 97. What about me? What about Taz? That promo worked. It feels like you're getting passed over. And that's what DZ is using. It should have been me. And he keeps saying it over and over again as if he's trying to convince himself, as if he's trying to convince the universe. He feels passed over. It's like when the mafia opens up the books and they don't make you. He got passed over.
Yeah.
It should have been me. I should have been made. I should be a champion. I've been the one that's been here for so long and looked over. Even though he hasn't been looked over. But for a guy who just got called into this angle, Dolph's doing an incredible job.
And this is really good as far as Kofi's first real kind of story coming out of WrestleMania 35. Because Kofi, for a decade, was never the handpicked guy. I mean, this was the story going into WrestleMania 35, how he never got an opportunity, fell into an opportunity, made the most of that opportunity, and now is a WWE champion. Now, when you look at Dolph Ziggler, like you said, Dolph has had opportunities, but he hasn't made the most of them. And yes, he was a champion. You have to go back 5 years. Maybe what now 6 years when Dolph was a world champion, when he won that WWE championship coming out of WrestleMania 29. Completely different story with Kofi Kingston. And the best thing about it, Bully, is that the fans are completely behind Kofi Kingston and the fans are booing Dolph Ziggler. It's not a go away. How many times do we talk about how can a heel truly get over? Dolph has done that. And it's amazing how Kofi has been able to build on that momentum. This is a classic babyface heel story going into a pay-per-view.
And look at what happens when you keep it simple and classic.
Yep.
It works, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the recipe for success, and it's worked from day one. the recipe has always been the same. It's the ingredients that you put in, and the ingredients that Dolph's throwing in is his verbiage and physicality, and the ingredients that Kofi is throwing in is his response to all of Dolph's verbiage and physicality. It's very simple to understand. Here's the good guy, here's the bad guy. The bad guy's got a gripe, and the good guy's going to fight him with his fists about it, and we're going to do it inside of a steel cage. I want to see this match. I don't even need the cage for the match because I know Dolph and Kofi are going to give me an exciting match, but I'm even more excited for the match because it is in a cage. And Dolph is so damn good at what he does. And so is Kofi for that matter. But now they have something to feed off of. When you have a guy that's 100% heel against a guy that's 100% face, it's going to work. It's impossible for it not to work. Then you add in their talents in the ring. I mean, it's going to be good, and Dolph is really an important part of this puzzle that they've been putting together coming out of WrestleMania. You know, Dolph wasn't in the mix, in the picture, and I believe Dolph was brought in because, what was it, Daniel Bryan wouldn't go to Saudi to fight Kofi? Was that the reason, Dave?
Yeah, Kevin Owens.
Okay, Kevin Owens. So they called upon Dolph. They put Dolph in the situation, and he's doing great. He's hitting a walk-off grand slam, in my opinion, every time he's out there. And he's probably the most believable I've ever seen him. It's as if the time away did him some good, and he's invigorated. And he also has this I-don't-give-a-frick chip on his shoulder with what he's doing. He's immersing himself in the verbiage. He's owning it. And one of the things that I noticed over the past couple of nights is that we always talk about these scripted promos.
Mm-hmm.
I think more and more guys and gals are starting to own their scripted promos. Dolph owned it. That's scripted, right?
Well, you know why? It's so funny. Yes, you're right. It's scripted. And you can kind of tell by the verbiage, but we played a clip of it coming into the segment, Bully. And just look at the emotion that's on his face. If you go back and watch SmackDown, the emotion. Look into his eyes. He's actually getting red as he's screaming. The pacing of his words. He's, as you said, Bully, he's owning those words. So maybe those aren't from his true emotions. But what he's been able to do is capture it, adapt to it, and make it his own. That's what Dolph Ziggler has been able to do.
And I got to tell you, the "it should have been me" part probably taps into a lot of truth when it comes to Dolph. Because I do believe that Dolph truly believes he's been passed over in the WWE. He knows how talented he is. Listen, we all saw how the cash-in went years ago. Dolph was over with the people. Dolph is one of the guys that the people wanted. And they kind of screwed around with Dolph, didn't they, Dave?
Yeah.
So it should have been Dolph. It should have been me. So when he's saying these words, he's able to own it because he probably truly feels it. The only thing that's kept Dolph around all these years is because they throw ungodly money at him, and he's stupid to walk away. But as far as being used the correct way, Dolph Ziggler should have been used 100 times better over the years as they have used him. I'm glad they're using him the way they are right now because it's doing a world of good for Dolph, the story, but mostly Kofi.
Bully, I love what you're saying because there's a couple of things that you said in describing this story going into Sunday that I absolutely love and really is the foundation of what pro wrestling has been for decades, decades, and decades. One, you said keep it simple, face heel, and that's exactly what they're doing. The other thing is what you always say, Bully, that you love a little realism in the story. Well, you can't get more real than this story. Kofi Kingston, a guy that's been completely ignored for a decade. You know, he was the guy that would do crazy stuff come Royal Rumble time, but was never really considered to be in a championship picture, and now he's a champion. And you could tell each and every SmackDown that he appreciates that he is champion, that he understands the importance of holding on to that championship. Now, on the other side, you have Dolph Ziggler. And what you said, hey, this is truly a guy that's kind of been passed over. He's been a man of the people for so long. He's kind of been our underdog. But what is he doing? He's acting like a heel should. He's blaming everybody but himself. Hey, you know what? This should be me. This shouldn't be you. That's what a heel does. Bitches and complains and whines. That's why this story is something that I'm buying into. And now, especially based on what I've seen over the last two shows, is something that I am absolutely invested in going into Stomping Grounds on Sunday, Bully.
And like I said, I relate it to Taz from 20 years ago. Taz felt the same way. What about me? What about Taz? Thus, he invented the FTW championship. He felt passed over. And what was Taz back then? He was angry. What are we seeing in Dolph Ziggler right now? He's angry. Taz actually did feel passed over back in the day. He felt passed over by the WWE. He felt passed over with the ECW championship. And that anger ran true because it was honest anger. And I think there is a bit of honesty to Dolph's anger right now. Deep down inside, Dolph feels that, listen, I gave you my best years, and I've only been given a taste of success every now and then. I go out there every single night and probably have the match of the night 9 out of 10 times. But yet you have me doing these weird things. I remember one time, Dave, real quick, we had a 6-man match with Dolph, and Dolph is our partner, and we're standing in the ring, and we're waiting for the other 6-man team to come, and Dolph looks at me at D-Va, and he goes, I got to tell you guys, my win-loss record ain't so good these days. And he popped me and Devon in the ring because he's basically when at that time, Dolph was at the bottom of the barrel. He wasn't doing anything. And a guy like Dolph, when you see what he's capable of, when you know what he was capable of, how could you ever have a guy like Dolph at the bottom of the barrel? It just doesn't make sense to me. But I'm happy with what he's doing now. I think he's doing a great job, and I think they'll have a great match at Stomping Grounds.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
How good is Alexa Bliss?
She's so good that she turns a 15-minute up next bumper segment into something entertaining. Remember, did you see the backstage segment last night where Alexa was talking to Nikki and it said up next? And they were just talking to one another and then some backstage hand walks up. And Alexa looks at him and says, hey, get me the coffee. And then when he walks away, Alexa makes like this disgusted face at him. In that 15 seconds, she maximized her opportunity to get even more heel heat on herself. She didn't just look at it as a throwaway, like, okay, we'll just stand here and pretend we're talking about something. And then up next, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. She took that 15 seconds and she made me hate her a little more. And that's how good she is at what she does. No wasted opportunities. She gets dealt a hand. She plays it to the max. And most of the time, she wins. It's not about how great of an actor Alexa Bliss is. It's how great of a reactor Alexa Bliss is. Watch her facials. Watch the way she rolls her eyes. Watch how disgusted she looks at people. Look at the little things she does. That's what makes her so damn good.
And you know what's great about it, too? Like, all the stuff that you're saying, the fans know it, and the fans are booing her. Like, you know, and it helps that you have somebody like Bayley, but let's be honest here. Bayley has not been a top attraction for quite some time. She was completely overshadowed by Ronda, Becky, Charlotte, even Sasha. And now Bayley is really making a comeback, and I think it's a lot because of Alexa Bliss. Let's put that to the side for just a second. What Alexa Bliss has been able to do for Nikki Cross, where the hell was Nikki Cross? And we didn't really know where they were going with Nikki, what they were doing with her character, with her personality, but what a story that they're presenting on TV. And again, just the manipulation of Nikki Cross, where it's not so obvious that you're watching at home and saying, how is Nikki Cross this blind that she doesn't see it? And that's all from the power of Alexa Bliss. She has done a tremendous job. And I can't wait for that match with her and Bayley. Now, Alexa Bliss kind of gets lost in the sauce, maybe in ring wise, when it came to like a Charlotte, a Ronda, and a Becky. She didn't seem like, for me, that she would be up to snuff when it comes to in-ring attributes with those greats. But you know what? Watching Alexa Bliss the last couple of months, I don't think that really matters. Because when it comes to character and personality, I think she's unmatched.
First of all, I got to give props to Nikki Cross.
Yes.
Because Nikki did a phenomenal job last night just sitting back and reacting to everything that was said. And when you see Nikki react to everything that's said, that's like a Pavlovian thing where as fans, since you can feel her reacting, thus you want to react. So Nikki had shock in her face. She couldn't believe the things that were coming out of Alexa's mouth and out of Bailey's mouth. And in selling shock, it makes the verbiage believable. I thought all three of those girls did an awesome job last night. And the thing about Nikki is, I don't think she looks stupid. I believe Nikki is coming across as this very innocent personality right now, somebody that's looking for a friend. Because if you remember Nikki a couple of weeks ago or whatever it was saying, you know, ever since I got here, I don't feel like many people have noticed me. Just like Nikki's just looking for a friend. Yeah, we know that Alexa is taking advantage of her. And hopefully they do the same thing with Nikki as they did with Nia when it came to the Alexa story. Use Alexa's passive-aggressive bullying to help get Nikki over.
It's working. It's working, and I actually like this story more than the Alexa Nia story.
But let me ask you this. Now, going back to what we talked about earlier about baby faces doing things that are not quite within their characters. Last night, there was a battle, a war of words between Bailey and Alexa, correct?
Yep.
Both going back and forth. You did this, you said this, blah, blah, blah. Each time somebody said something, the crowd is reacting. Whoa, oh, wow, can't believe she went there. Why did Bailey drill Alexa in the mouth?
She got it. She took it to the next level and she made it physical.
Why? Why did the babyface feel the need to make it physical? It's a war of words. Shouldn't the babyface win?
It's almost like that's acknowledging the fact that Alexa got the best of her.
Correct.
Interesting.
It's very out of character for me. So what Bailey is basically doing is saying, you got the best of me on the microphone. Now I have to punch you in the face.
Well, I mean, we just played it. It's, you know, again, when you talked about reality, what Alexa was saying was kind of true. She said Bailey peaked in NXT. And I think there's a lot of fans that watch WWE programming that would agree 100% in what Alexa had to say.
And the thing about what Alexa does is she has conviction. Even if what she was saying wasn't true about Bailey peaking, because Bailey peaking in the WWE is her winning the championship. But she says things with such conviction that she gets the people to buy into it. She creatively and conveniently lies with the tone and inflection of her voice, not necessarily the words.
It's a masterful job that's being presented right now.
It's smoke and mirrors, and she does a really great job with it. And I got to tell you, you know who else is doing a great job? And this is a totally different way of doing a great job than Alexa, is the Iconics. Every time those girls come out, they are so effing entertaining. They are annoying and they are entertaining. They share the same brain. They finish each other's sentences. Their timing, everything about them, they do such a great job. Listen, in the ring, baby steps forward. Hopefully they get better. Their strengths is not in their, you know, incredible wrestling ability. Their strengths is their entertaining. You know what I want to see with the Iconics? I want to see them do a drive along. What's that? What's the show?
Yeah,
WWE
ride
does?
Ride along. Yeah.
I want to see ride along with the Iconics.
I would have to share a ride with the Iconics.
That would be so funny to see them driving together and having like to follow and no GPS allowed. They have to read an old school map.
Oh boy.
I think it would be entertaining because just seeing them, they're another act there that owns their verbiage. They get handed something and then they turn it into their own.
Well, think about what we're saying. You know, before WrestleMania 35, what was dominating the women's division? It was Charlotte, it was Ronda, it was Becky. Now, right now, it's Alexa Bliss, it's the Iconics. You know, we're talking about Nikki Cross. That division has completely shifted without a doubt over the last couple of months. All right, let's quickly go to the Busted Open Nation. Let's go out to our good friend Izzy in Orlando. Izzy, what did you want to say about Bayley and Alexa?
So, to be completely honest, guys, when WWE announced Alexa Bliss versus Bayley for the SmackDown Women's Championship at Stomping Grounds, I wasn't very excited. I was like, I've seen this before. I know what to expect. It's going to go down. Bayley's going to probably win. The baby face is probably going to get over. Something like that. But ever since last night at the Moment of Bliss, I really like that promo, and I'm even more hyped up now. I think Alexa Bliss, she was so real in that promo. And then Bayley, on the other hand, it was kind of cool to see that she's no longer really the hugger and the girl that's going to be nice. She's going to be the hugger still, but she's going to be the girl that will fight back no matter what, which I really like. And it means her character is evolving. And I know I said this thousands of times on the air, but it's really cool to see. So for my prediction, I really want Bayley to win at Stomping Grounds. That will be awesome. But I think, and I'm going to say it, and I think for her character, it's going to be really good if she loses, because then it will be cool to see Bayley chase for the title, because really Bayley's at her best when she chases the title. So I just want to hear what you guys think of that little comment.
All right, Izzy, thanks so much for the phone call. I guess, is summer vacation start already?
Yeah, I think it started about a couple weeks ago. So I'm like all summer vacay mode.
Nice. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later, Izzy. Interesting that Izzy wouldn't mind seeing Alexa drop this title and be in chase mode. I think that's very telling, especially what we've seen over the last couple weeks. Bayley, I'm sorry. Did I say Becky? Bayley.
I don't know if she would have dropped the championship again. Do you think that Bayley had enough babyface steam behind her in the first place to chase?
Well, I mean, judging from the frustration from what we saw last night, she probably needs to hold on to this title a little bit longer.
I got to tell you, in history, and I've told you this on the show many times, Dave, the best heels were the best babyfaces. It is so easy to turn somebody like Bayley into a heel and have her take out all of her frustrations on any particular talent, on the fans. I know they might not pull the trigger because she's very endearing to the young girls. She sells a lot of merchandise, yada, yada. But I could see her getting so frustrated and pissed off, she snaps. And I saw a little bit of it last night. She snapped. Alexa got under her skin, and she couldn't beat her on the microphone, so she had a driller in the mouth. Now, when you see Alexa Bliss and Bayley standing next to each other, is Bayley considerably bigger than Alexa?
No.
No? Are you kidding me?
You think
Alexa is tiny.
I mean, oh, you so mean height-wise, yes.
Yeah, height-wise.
Yeah, height-wise, yes.
Yeah, so Bayley's towering over her last night, right? Bayley drilled her right in the jaw with a forearm. Alexa didn't even go down. So you got frustrated as a babyface. You took the first shot and you couldn't even drop the heel?
Wow.
Come on. I would have done that segment differently also.
Could this segment that we saw last night be a hint towards something that could be happening over the next few weeks?
I don't know, but I could see it, because when I see frustration building in a babyface like that, it's kind of like when the Emperor saw the frustration building up in Luke. He's like, good, feed into your anger. Good, good. Turn to the dark side. I saw that frustration in Bayley last night. I would have done last night differently, though. Unless they're going down a heel road with Becky, then what they did last night is good, because they could always go back to that and say, this is where the frustration started with her. Or they could use it as a connecting the dot point. But last, to watch my world champion babyface get so frustrated that she had to pop the heel in the jaw and couldn't even drop the heel doing it? Sorry. Now the people were chanting for Bayley. They did want to see Bayley get up. I would have had Nikki. I would have wanted to see a little bit of frustration in Bayley. And I wanted to see Bayley kind of look at Nikki and maybe Nikki step forward for a second and go, okay, Bayley, chill out. And as Bayley's looking at Nikki, then Alexa drills her.
That's what a heel would do.
And now Nikki could feel bad for a second that she turned her, you know, turned Bayley to her. And then afterwards, Alexa can be telling Nikki, Nikki, don't feel bad. You were doing the right thing. There's so many ways for Alexa to manipulate that situation. But to have the bigger world champion babyface drill a small heel in the jaw and not drop them, I'm sorry, I don't think they got the job done.
You know what? It's interesting what you're saying because I didn't think of it at the time. You're right. First of all, here's the face getting frustrated enough that she got things physical, and then by getting things physical, didn't drop the heel. I mean, that's very telling. And Bully, I'll even take it a step further. It's going to be interesting to see what takes place on Sunday, because how can you continue this story? I mean, who needs to win this match more? Is it Bayley in her really first title defense as SmackDown Women's Champion? Or is it Alexa Bliss? And where do you go with this story from there? It's going to be very interesting to see what takes place on Sunday, Bully.
Side note, everybody's hitting me up on the old Twitter machine. I guess the Iconics did a ride-along already.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. I mean, it'd be fun to check out. I'd like to see them do a new one. I think they've been hitting their stride lately. If they did a ride-along, it was probably a while ago. My point with the Iconics...
I haven't watched the ride-along since it was Jericho and Mark Henry.
My point is that they are entertaining, and they own what they do, and they're doing a great job with it. And as far as the story with Bayley and Alexa... Yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes. I think Alexa has to get a ton of heat on Bayley. You have to keep Bayley down. You have to make her sell, and the people have to want to see her blow a comeback.
Thanks for listening. Catch us weekdays on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.